Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everybody. This is Nancy Ryan. Ryan rocks it Asbury Park style. Well, here we are, another Thursday night, and a whole half an hour to talk to some fabulous people. In the promo, you saw that this is my very first, I can't say it's the first out-of-state interview, because I did remember that I did interview a good friend of mine, Willie Nile, the Willie Nile Band. He's in New York City. But this is the furthest away interview that, oh, wait a minute, I did do another one in California. I interviewed my jazz girlfriend. Boy, I better write this down. I do have it written down. I just didn't remember. I've done so many shows now. I've been doing this a long time. But in any case, without further ado, I'm going to introduce my guests for this evening because the time goes so darn fast. And it is a relative of mine, which is really exciting, and that is a first. This is the first time I have ever interviewed a relative of mine. And I'm interviewing my niece, and her name is Amal Mimish. And she is a community organizer and prospective law student in Washington, D.C. And I also have another guest as well, and his name is Chris, and he's going to tell you how he pronounces his last name. Is it Chris? Is it Otten? Otten?
Yeah, Otten.
Otten, okay, Otten. Chris Otten is also with Amal, and we are going to be discussing issues that I have never really, I've never gone this way before into these sensitive issues. People that know me and know about my music and know about my know that I'm an animal activist and that I'm an environmentalist. So it's perfectly wonderful that we're doing this. So here we go. We're going to get right into it. I spent 4 days with my niece, and she said, Aunt Nancy, do you want to go to a walk tomorrow? A kind of, it was a people's walk, I believe it was, a people's tour of a McMillan Park. And I'm like, oh, a rally. Oh, wait. Or I think she said a rally first. And, oh, I've never been to a rally. I got all excited. But anyway, so we did this walk, and now I'm going to ask Amal to speak up. And I loved Washington, D.C., but we'll talk about that during the show. So, Amal, let's talk about why we're having this show. And it is to save McMillan Park. So, Amal, welcome to my show, honey.
Thanks for having me. Yeah. You were here a couple months ago, and I did ask you if you wanted to go to a rally, which actually was the People's Tour of McMillan Park. McMillan Park is 25 acres of public property, an open space park, but it's actually been closed off. It's been fenced off
since World War II.
For almost half a century now, and for more than that, actually.
Illegal.
And
illegal. So illegal shutdown, right?
Yeah.
So it's okay. Public property, open space park, but it's been closed off since World War II, and there I got involved with the group that was trying to open up the park and have it be used to have public access to the park. And Chris is the expert on what's been going on in that battle.
Yeah, it's Friends of McMillan Park. Then you go to friendsofmcmillan.org. And there's also the Save McMillan Action Coalition, which is a partner kind of more tour that have volunteers and residents who are doing things at the site and creating kind of political uproar about the plan to demolish this wonderful 25 acres of site and privatize it. It's an outrage because it's a national historic landmark. If you can imagine, they're destroying a national historic landmark to put up, guess what, more condos.
Right. So there is a plan for the park, and the city is partnering with a corporation, private corporation, and is going to sell the public property, basically, which we are really not happy about, and residents are not happy about at all. And they're going to build these huge office buildings and then very expensive apartments. And right now, if you're standing on the park, you can see this magnificent view, the skyline view of the city. You can see the Capitol building. You can see the Washington Monument. You can see the Basilica. And it's just going to be destroyed by these. How many feet is going? 115 feet tall office building.
Yeah.
Right. And not only that, so McMillan Park is, so underneath McMillan Park, as you saw that day, Aunt Nancy, when we took the people's tour, are 20 vaults of sand. So the McMillan Park is also it's a decommissioned slow sand filtration site.
Right. Water filtration system. Yeah, it was very, very interesting, and I got some phenomenal photographs that I am going to, in the promotion, I said that I will be posting them after the show at some point, after the interview, at some point, because it was so interesting. But I want to just take you back just a moment. When you say that this was shut down right after the war, okay, the Second World War, I'm a post-war baby born in 1946, and I know the war was over in 44, I think it was. But in any case, so this has been shut down. This park has been, I just want to make sure I'm sure of the facts. Has it been shut down and gated for no public use since that time? Like, have people been able to go on the grass or walk through that park since the war, or no?
Well, let's go back to the beginning. It was born out of the McMillan, the City Beautiful Plan of the turn of the 20th century, so like 1901 through 1906. And it was constructed in like 3 or 4 years. William Howard Taft opened it up as president, announcing it in 1906, okay? And
right.
So basically, the significance is that it supplied water to the U.S. Capitol, so it was the first water treatment plant in Washington, and that eliminated the epidemics of that time, like typhoid and other diseases. It was a technological marvel at the time. With all the great figures, engineering figures and landscaping figures, Olmsted and others, who it represented a triumph, basically, of the pure water advocates over chemical treatment,
okay,
at the time.
Okay.
It's part of this City Beautiful movement. So it was like, okay, founding fundamental municipal systems, but making it look beautiful. So
right.
Like water treatment, but at the same time making it an active space, a park above that's landscaped beautifully with a beautiful walk around it and some fountains and just really beautifully done. So it was integrating practical, you know, institutional, industrial type stuff with a beautiful landscaping,
right.
And that's sort of. And so it was just this groundbreaking thing at the time, and it cured the typhoid epidemic, and it provided D.C.'s first clean water system.
Let me ask you, though, when did they close the park for public use?
So
like when did
it
they
ran,
stop people from it, walking on the grounds of the park? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, so between 1906 and 19, somewhere about 1940s, 41, it was an open public space. In fact, it was one of the first integrated spaces in the district, okay, post the Civil War. It was one of the first places that blacks and whites could gather for recreation without fear of retribution. So it was also a racially important place in the district.
That's really something.
So then we had the rise of the Nazis in the 30s in Germany and whatnot, and then we entered the war, World War II, and the politicians and bureaucrats at the time were fearful that some terrorists, you know, from these, the Axis powers would basically poison DC's water system by getting into the site and dropping whatever they wanted to drop into the site. Now, so they closed it. They fenced it off. They said we would fence it off for the duration of the war, but then reopen it after the war ended.
And they never reopened it, correct?
Right.
And they never reopened it. Okay, well, that's kind of, that's where I wanted to go, because to me, that is like really so ridiculous, number one, because they could have been having festivals there. They could have been having craft fairs there. They could have been having, you know, music festivals, all kinds of community events to where the people of Washington, D.C., you know, all of the artists and of the community, and not just artists, but just for everyone to enjoy, and to just close it and keep it closed from the 40s till 2016 is ridiculous. I mean, they could have made money off of it, because when they have events like that anyway, they charge a certain amount of money per table, and a certain amount of money goes back to the city, you know, to rent the space. And it just seems like unbelievable why they never reopened that space to be enjoyed. That just doesn't make any sense to me whatsoever.
Well, we agree, and we also think that it's definitely a shame that time is lost, but we can have that now. We can open, it can remain public property. We can keep a significant part of it as open space, and can have whatever the community wants, a library, an art center, a museum, a recreation center. Unfortunately, though, the plan that the private developers have doesn't involve any of those things. They're just going to be office buildings and apartment buildings.
It's all about the money, darling. It's all about the money. Let's face the facts. I mean, I mean, it really is.
There's a number of other problems. I mean, that area is really congested already with traffic. And I cannot imagine if they're going to put a high-density, building there, then it's just going to be pretty crazy with the traffic there. There's a hospital across the street. There are ambulances that come in and out of there. It's
beautiful. It's a beautiful park and a beautiful area, and I just loved Washington, D.C., and thank you again for having me. I'm coming back for sure, and to go and see the White House and Lincoln Center, and it was just like, I just really loved the atmosphere. It just felt really good, and I did see there was a lot of construction going on, but some of the old beautiful townhouses that reminded me a little bit of New York, the townhouses in Manhattan. But I am 100% with you guys, of course, in this Save McMillan Park. And it is on Facebook, everybody, that they do have a page, Save McMillan Park, on Facebook, so you can connect that way, too. And at the end of the show, we'll tell you, everyone, that you can talk to and what you can do, and maybe, you know, we'll get to that part, but we're not there yet. But I know you went to a hearing. So what you've been doing so far collectively is getting people to what are you doing? Like, I know that I saw you were at a hearing. Tell us a little bit about that. You went before a hearing?
Chris can speak a lot to the process with the city that's been going on for quite some time now. But I did testify at a recent hearing, which was carried out by the chairman of the Department of Planning and Economic Development, who have not really been doing a great job on this project at all. In fact, it seems like there's a little bit of corruption involved.
Big time.
And I'll let Chris speak to that.
Okay. Well, there's always corruption when there's big time money like that. It's been from the beginning of mankind.
Well,
and,
here's the thing, Nancy.
Do you guys have an attorney and everything like that, Chris?
Yeah, we have several attorneys. We're in court now. We're challenging the zoning decision that is allowing the blowing up of this space. Now, mind you, this is a national historic site, okay?
Oh.
Frederick Law Olmsted, who designed the site, I mean, his family, his father, designed Central Park, okay?
Oh,
Frederick Law Olmsted Jr. did many parks in L.A., and he had this whole philosophy about how green parks, green space in the cities is so critical for our natural value of our health, well-being, and minds.
Mm-hmm.
And so this park, you know, although it was shut to the public in 1941, it was supposed to be reopened. There are issues there that have to do with racism and classism. Around the park is largely an African-American community. It has been, at least, for the last 40, 50 years. And there was kind of, you know, as politicians come and go, so do philosophies, whether they be racist or classist, those kind of come through these politicians. And, you know, at that time, they wanted to keep things out of the control of Black people's, you know, out of control. The whole city, the Congress controls the district, right? So there's this whole racist connection to preventing Chocolate City from controlling its own destiny. And that this park is one example of that. That's why they left the bureaucrats left the fence up despite the public wanting it to come down. And there just wasn't enough push to, I guess, political will to do that. But nonetheless, the value, you're talking about big time money, the value that Central Park gives to New York City, this could be our Central Park. I mean, just the hot dog vendors alone around Central Park pull in millions of dollars for the city in taxes. And so this economic model of condos and luxury office space, you know, prime real estate kind of model, is not the only model that can bring in money. There have been all sorts of alternative plans. Remember, here we are, it's 100 years on from when this architectural marvel was created and constructed. And despite the neglect over this time, since 1986, when it actually stopped treating D.C.'s water, so for the last 30 years, it's kind of sat neglected. Despite that, this thing was made so well and constructed such with the, at the time, state-of-the-art poured concrete technology that most of the site is still quite stable. You could build four-story buildings on this site, which is resting on these groin vaults, which are under these beautiful, they call them groin vaults, which you were down in. I mean, you can describe how majestic it is down there. And what we see major cities doing around the nation, around the world, is saving these ancient marvels and repurposing them for tourists, for locals to enjoy. And
But let me ask you something. What happened to the trees? What happened to all? Well, there must have been trees in that park. What happened to all the trees? Was that from neglect that there's no trees?
That was purposeful neglect. They cut them all down. They stopped watering them and they cut them down.
Yeah, that's disgraceful. I mean, trees give oxygen to people and to the air. They nurture, you know, the bees and the flowers and the animals and the birds. They keep refuge for the birds to hide in. They keep them warm. And I mean, I could not. That's when I saw that barren land. I was wondering, wait, this is a park. Where are the trees? You know, so that's disgraceful. That's just disgraceful.
Look, in New York, at least they're getting their act together. They've saved the High Line, which is And now they're building a low line. I mean, they're investing in things, relics of the past, and refurbishing them, repurposing them, and they're becoming these amazing destinations in these cities. So you got High Line and the Low Line in Manhattan. Right. You have Chicago's got their Millennial Park, which used to be an industrial site. Seattle, they've repurposed their gas works, if you can imagine this, into a public space that attracts people. This is happening around the nation. The
right.
District of Columbia doesn't get it. The people,
right.
The office planning, these people don't, they only exist to serve their corporate developer masters. And that
right.
is at the expense of our public space and at the expense of these amazing alternative ideas.
I know. They could pay for a tour like that. They could be charging people to go for a tour into those ancient caverns and take photographs. I took the photograph of a flower. Just, I know this is going a little off topic, but I took some fabulous, because I'm a, you know, it's my hobby, but, and there was a succulent flower, a succulent, I don't know what type of the name of it is, but it was growing right out of the concrete wall. And it's like then it had all of those, some wildflowers and some really unusual types of weeds that I've never seen in my life that looked like they could be flowers. And it was just so amazing to see something that was built so long ago. And I took it, you know, copies. I mean, I took photographs of everything in there, above the ground and underneath the cavern, in the caverns. So I'll be posting those photographs. But, yeah, it's like I can definitely envision your dream, and you got to get a lot of other people on board. But you got a huge fight. I'm not being negative, but it's a huge fight, and I don't know where you're at as far as saving part of it. Like, can you save like half of it and say, well, build on half of it and leave the caverns, leave the water filtration system above and underground as it is, and then have other things, you know, like, how about take half of it, the acreage, and leave the half for the park? Are you doing that?
Well, one of the things that we need for McMillan Park is a competitive bidding process where people from, architects from all over the world can submit ideas to preserve and develop the park.
Okay.
But that hasn't happened here, and I'm not sure how Vision McMillan partners were selected, but it was not through a competitive process. If we have a competitive process of everyone, you know, submitting ideas, well, then we'll really get the best plan for the park, but we don't have that right now.
Right. Now, are you, let me verify, has this property already been sold to a corporation that is going ahead with plans to build now?
The deed has not been officially handed to any private corporate entity, mainly because we've held them up in court. But, you know, as far as the politicos are concerned, although we're making some headway on the city council in terms of at least some council members questioning how bad this deal is, they have kind of already voted to say it's okay. Let's just give away this land. I mean, this land is less than a mile. It's about a mile and a half from the Capitol building,
right
here in the center of the nation's capital.
Can
you imagine how valuable? Can you imagine how valuable this is? And so we're actually giving it away for a negative value. The city has decided to say to the developer, we'll give you this and we'll throw in money. So it's just amazing. It's just a complete giveaway. Now, mind you.
Are there other parks in Washington in that area, or is that the only park?
There is no – Ward 5 is where this is located, on the edge of Ward 1, but also in Ward 5. And that is one of the big things the mayor has pointed out a few years ago in the Green Sustainability Plan, that Ward 5 is severely lacking green space and park space for recreation.
Right, and that's one of the reasons why.
You need greenery. You need greenery for oxygen in your air. You need just to, and for your just sense of well-being. I mean, you do have beautiful monuments and all of that. It's a lot to compete with the White House and with, you know, Lincoln Center and things like that, but you're not really in competition. A park is to nurture mostly children, as far as I'm concerned. A park is where you take your children to enjoy themselves and where you go to mingle with other people, you know, and there's just so much involved in it. And to destroy, to take a park away and build, it's like, you know, Joni Mitchell, you got to get the song and start playing it. You know, they you know, took down the tree, they put up a parking lot, you know, they took down all the trees and put up a parking lot. It's like really, really disgraceful to me. And it is corrupt in itself. That's the idea that to me is corrupt in itself, because I did the tour, I did the walk, I went through seeing all the beautiful townhouses, seeing how congested it was. There was zero parking available. Amal, we went in 2 days, both days into Washington, D.C., and it's a beautiful city. I did see they were doing a lot of construction on other buildings as well, though, in that same area, just a few blocks up from the park, maybe six blocks up from the park they were doing construction. But the idea is just, it's not a good idea. It doesn't
it's
benefit.
Not.
In fact, I don't know what the population is in that particular area, but, you know, where are these people are going to work? I mean, I'm sure you've looked into that too. I mean, how many people are these condos going to house, and are they going to be able to find sufficient employment, or is it going to cause an additional problem for the city? Are these people? Has anybody looked into that?
That's a good question, but I just wanted to go back to your last question about if there is green space around that area, and
right.
There's not. Like McMillan Park, there's not. And the thing is, if this was happening in another part of the city, this was happening in Upper Northwest, which is a predominantly white, affluent area, the development plan would absolutely not be happening. And that's one of the reasons why this is racist. And not only that, but with the development, maybe Chris, you want to talk about how people might be displaced around the park from the development?
Go ahead.
I was going to say that, you know, because it's such a big space, 20 acres, right? And you drop a gigantic luxury project there with a ton of luxury condos and stuff. The planning officials in the city have failed to analyze what that type of, like, hundreds of units of new luxury housing, how that destabilizes the land values in the surrounding community where people have lived for generations. Now suddenly their house is worth twice as much. That means their taxes are going to go up. That means the rents are going to go up. That means people get displaced. And they have failed to look at that. We're going to challenge that directly. But we really want to save this. It's part of our emerald necklace, as Olmsted called it. And McMillan, James McMillan, is senator from Michigan. He came up with these concepts of parks throughout D.C. to retain, as you said, our beauty, our air, our water, our quality of life, and, you know, our sense of calm, and to raise our kids and all of that, right?
Well,
it's just,
a place for kids to go and for people to go. And, yeah, a park is very important for so many different reasons. You could talk about it for hours and hours and hours. But also I would look into and see, like, I don't know what your unemployment rate is like in that area, but you got to maybe use that as a fighting, as a ammunition against building condominiums as well, as saying, well, that's fine, but where are these people going to be working? I mean, are there jobs for these people once they move into these condominiums? And who's going to afford, like, who's going to come in and live in these condominiums?
Well, they're building all these condos for the wealthy suburbanites who are moving in from around D.C. who are tired of the two-hour, you know, traffic commute
okay.
in their cars.
They already are maybe already employed in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, I mean, that's who it's being built for. That's what all these new developments are being built for. But
right.
but that's fine. You know, that's fine if they want to build. But they have to look at impacts. They have to look at impacts to existing residents. And don't take our green space away. And don't privatize our public land. They don't need to do that. They're building all these other condos. Fine. Why can't we keep something sacred, such as a National Historic Site with such amazing history and character? I mean, you know, we've had now a couple of DJ shows underground where we've had raves. We call them Raving About McMillan. I mean,
right.
the sound quality was cool. You know, we had hundreds of people down there partying and dancing and enjoying that space. The same could be true. We could have epic concerts sort of along the lines of Central Park, above ground. We can have underground food aquaponics and hydroponics and growing food. There could be a swimming pool there. This could be a very energized, vibrant public space. It could be our Central Park here in D.C. that's not owned by the Fed. That's not owned by the federal government. This would be ours, our local district government's Central Park.
Right. Well, you know, when I'll tell you, you're not going to believe that our time is up already. And it's been a half an hour we've been talking. And
yeah.
I told you, it goes in a flash. And I just wish you the best of luck. And we didn't even talk about the other, the Union Arts D.C. building, which houses, I don't know, I think my niece was telling me, when we spoke on the phone, maybe 100 artisans that go there, painters and, you know, all kinds of craftspeople, and they're trying to demolish that building as well.
Yeah, unfortunately, displacement has become a theme in D.C.
And
but thank you for having me here to talk about it, giving us a platform to speak out on it.
Oh, you're welcome.
And
you're welcome. If you, and, you know, it's great to have you. I want to give you a chance to just go ahead and tell people where they can contact you, what they can do for you to help you in your cause. You know,
okay,
can they write
pictures?
Can they sign petitions and send them in? How can people get involved in helping you? People that don't even live in Washington, D.C. Have you contacted the Sierra Club or any other environmental organizations to, like, bond up with you and try to help you out?
Yeah, they've taken a position on it. But, you know, look, people, this is everybody's park. This is a public space. It's a national landmark, meaning it's all of ours. We want it saved. And you can go to savemcmillan.org, SAVEMCMILLAN.org. You can check out our activities calendar. You can sign our petitions there. You can send in letters to the city council. Do not destroy our park. And you can call us anytime at 202-810-2768. So savemcmillan.org.
Because I'm going to write it down, and I'll put that in the when I post the interview everywhere, I'll put that call number, 202-810-2768. And that's a call number for information or to be able to lend a hand or help out in any way.
Right. We're particularly looking for folks who want to maybe set up an art show or do music down below. We're looking for lawyers. We're looking for preservationists, people who have a network of preservationists in mind that we can reach out to. Any way you think you want to be able to help save this special place, let us know.
And what would you just call? It's still just call, is it a Save McMillan call center, or is there a name for the you know, how can I just want to be able to put this down and put the number down correctly. Should I just put that it's the call center for Save McMillan Park?
Well, it's actually my desk, so
they can call me up directly. Do you want me to put your name?
Sure.
Do you have a title?
Activist.
Okay, great. That sounds great to me. That sounds fantastic. Oh, it's been great having you, Amal. That's my niece, Amal Nemish. And it's been really wonderful having you and having Chris join. Chris, thank you so much. It was a pleasure meeting you. And I enjoyed the people's tour of the historic McMillan Park very much. And I have posted this everywhere. I even put this on my friend who there's 17,000 people in his group. It's called Inside the Music Business. Hi, Eric Klein. And he probably said, Nancy, what are you doing putting this on? But, and Bruce, hey, Bruce out there, I know. Well, Bruce Springsteen fans, you know, I've been in that park, and everybody loves Bruce. And so I've been on Bruce Springsteen pages, and you're probably going, what? But let's remember one thing. This is Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park style, the show. Mm-hmm. And I must say that, you know, I know Bruce, and I know Clarence is a good friend of mine. And so I feel very happy. And for a year and a half, all of these sites, about 12 Bruce Springsteen, pages, have really been enjoying my radio show. And because I mostly have musicians and artists, but we also have artists here in D.C., Union Arts D.C. building, and they're also, being threatened with taking their building away. And, you know, it's got to stop, and people have to join together for a good cause. And this is a fantastic cause. And go to Washington, D.C., and go take a people's tour. Call Chris up and find out when the next tour is, because it was so exciting to go, you know, just to even find out about, you know, the filtration system and how it started and what it did. And I had no idea, you know, that it really helped with the typhoid. I never knew all those things. And I got great pictures of friends coming. So I have to say goodbye because I have my nonprofits that I have to, that I always mention. You can stay on the line if you like. I'm just going to go ahead and say, people, all of the people that come on my radio show, I have, over 3.5 years acquired the best, all nonprofits are important, but to me, these are the ones that are close to my heart, and they are Minister Steve Tent, City of Lakewood. They're all on Facebook. You can all find them on Facebook, which is really helpful, or just Google them. You'll find them on Google. The Helping Hands of New Jersey are Gregory and Karen Nixon. We have Hometown Heroes, Michael Schwartz, Monmouth Ocean County Food Bank, which is Carlos Rodriguez, the Monmouth County SPCA. I don't have a spokesperson for them. They're one of my most recent nonprofits, but they're right down the street from where I live, and they need all the help and volunteers they can get. I know I'm missing some. Oh, yeah, City of Angels, my friend Allison Saho. It's a recovery radio station, and anyone can call in 24/7, anyone, teenagers, if you're having problems with your parents. It's not just for people that have drug or alcohol problems. It's any kind of problems, pulling out your hair, cutting, anything that you're doing that you need help with, you call Allison. And they'll put you for free of charge with people that care and that will help you. So I hope didn't leave anybody out. I should have it written down in front of me. I think I covered them. Let me think. Give me a pause. Toastmasters would give me a big flashing red light. Oh, you're pausing too long. Oh, I want to say this has been a great show, and I wish we had more time to talk about Save McMillan Park. But I, for one, would never have done this program if I wasn't a total believer in something has to be done, and has to be done now, right now, not tomorrow, now. So everybody, please go to the Facebook page and show your support, okay? All right, everybody, I'm going to say goodbye. Till next time. Over and out. It's Nancy Ryan. Ryan Rocks at Asbury Park Style. Bye, Amal, and bye, Chris, and lots of luck.
Bye.
Take care.
Talk to you soon. Come back to Washington.
I will be coming back, absolutely, after our storms are done. I'm coming back for sure. I loved it. It was a really cool place. Very nice. Loved it. I have super, super photographs to post.
Looking forward
okay,
to seeing
bye-bye.
Them.
Take
no.
care.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Thank you again.
Thank you.